stories. They're one of the few things that's keeping people sane during the pandemic. From the Blue Devil Hub, this is the News Cycle. I'm Max Davis Housefield. Coming up, we'll take a look at the stories people in the community are enjoying. It's Monday, May 10th. The last month of school starts today. So let's start out with the movies. Ever since the first lockdowns, most films that studios have decided to go ahead and release have been available, sometimes exclusively, on streaming platforms. That's true of Sony's new animated sci-fi comedy, The Mitchells vs. the Machines. Directed by Mike Rianda, it follows the dysfunctional Mitchell family as they fight against the robot apocalypse. Ji-Hoon Moon and Jenna Olivari have this discussion of the film.
Who are these unstoppable warriors?
We're the Mitchells, the only people who can save the world. I'm super sorry.
Jenna, what were your general thoughts?
I generally enjoyed it, and I was generally shocked at the quality and the complexity of the story. It was a kid's movie, but I thought it was entertaining, and there were fully laugh out loud moments, and I think had some interesting social commentary, particularly on like technology and how it impacts social relationships or familial relationships.
Overall, I think I liked it. There's just something about it that didn't make me like love it, you know? Like, I thought it was good. It was funny. There were moments that I laughed out loud. I just think that kept it from me like loving it, besides just like thinking it was good, was I don't think I had any like real adoration for a lot of these characters. I don't think they're as instantly classic as previous characters. You could say, like, I don't know.
They're pretty
like,
forgettable.
Yeah, they're not necessarily one note, but they feel like an amalgamation of many previous characters beforehand.
Not a lot of like new character tropes, I guess. Yeah, it just builds on traditional character tropes for, I would say, like, you know, quirky families.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about theming. This movie is heavily, I feel like the two big themes that it has are technology and like how we use technology, how that affects us. And then also family would be the other one. So what were your thoughts on the theming? What did you think it was trying to say?
I thought the entire time I was watching it, I was just thinking about how much it was talking about like this juxtaposition between needing technology and then the bad things about an over-reliance on technology. You know, it's around this whole like robot uprising, right? Which is obviously like an outlandish, I don't even know if I would say outlandish this point, but like, you know, it's very much like a science fiction like idea about at some point that like the technology is going to take over, you know. It's something that's been done before. But then also like the dad's relationship with technology just kind of points out that to a certain extent technology is necessary. I just think it's interesting to think about like that necessary balance between the two, if that makes sense. I did like the fact that they specifically talked about them not being like the perfect family, you know?
I think this movie was really well at defining how each one, the like four members of this family, how they each approached the family dynamic. And they each approached the family dynamic in their own way, like outside of the other three. So one thing I really loved about this movie and is the animation style. So this was,
oh my gosh, yes,
produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who, if you're not aware of, they have directed and produced a lot of really big animated movies past like decade-ish. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego Movie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And with this movie too, they really bring a unique style of animation to each of their movies that I really love. This movie, what's special about this movie is beyond just like the character animation, there's a mixture between 2D animation and 3D animation, with the 2D animation being like coming from Katie's movies that she makes. And
there's also the factor of all of the textures of the characters are intended to like be reminiscent of 2D animation, which I think is so interesting. I love that style. I think it's so much more like dynamic and artistic.
I think incorporating Katie's movies through the animation into the rest of the movie, I think really highlights the how she sees the world.
It's kind of funny though that the movies that she has are like not that good. Like everyone's like raving about her movies, like, wow, she's so cool and quirky. But like the movies aren't that good.
So overall, I think this was really good, really hilarious. I think that, I don't think it reached the heights of complexity that it could have with its messaging. I think overall, it's really quirky, really fun. And I think I would recommend this to anyone who just wants to have some fun time for a little less than 2 hours.
Final thoughts. I would definitely recommend. I think it's a super fun kids movie. I think kids would definitely enjoy it. It's colorful and exciting. And there's robots. Like, what's not to love?
and the dog's hilarious.
The robots are hilarious. The dogs are hilarious. So I would definitely recommend.
The Mitchells vs. the Machines is available to stream right now on Netflix. Another popular genre is mystery. These stories allow readers to sharpen their observational skills while unraveling the tale's complex threads. Benjamin Mitchell has this review of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, the 2003 mystery from Mark Haddon, which has also been adapted as a successful play.
What do you think makes a good mystery?
Something that the reader or viewer themselves can slowly begin to unravel with the character, instead of it just being all of a sudden dropped on them.
I think a good mystery requires, like, subversion of the reader's expectations.
It was 7 minutes after midnight. The dog was lying on the grass in the middle of the lawn.
Max Steele and Ian Bourne are two DHS students who know a good mystery. They'd probably enjoy Mark Haddon's novel. The book The Curious Incident of a Dog in the Nighttime is a mystery novel that follows Christopher Boone, a boy born with autism who sets out to find the killer of his neighbor's dog. Christopher's narration provides for a wonderfully fresh take on the mystery genre. His interests and unique way of seeing the world are apparent on every page. Despite the seeming banality of the murder of a dog, the novel still provides several surprising reveals that kept me interested throughout. The novel definitely pays homage to classic mysteries. Even the title is a reference to the classic Sherlock Holmes story, The Adventure of the Silver Blaze. Christopher, like Holmes, maintains a rigid adherence to logic throughout the book, and it's this trait that makes him such an original character. The Curious Incident of a Dog in the Nighttime is a unique story that I would highly recommend. For BlueDevilHub.com, this is Ben Mitchell reporting.
So where can you find this book? It's available on Amazon, but I strongly suggest you stop by the Avid Reader where you can pick up a copy. And, as Bridget Nagel reports, you might also find some other entertaining tales.
Outside Avid Reader in downtown Davis, customers wander in and out of the shop, carrying tote bags and stacks of new novels to read, packing them in bike baskets before riding off down 2nd Street. It's quieter inside, but still bustling with customers talking and checking out books. Davis resident Alex Cook visits the Avid Reader about once a month, and recently, even more often.
I've been reading more. Mostly related to my work, like it's more relaxed.
The pandemic has given readers like Cook more time at home and more time to read books. Ludi Wang, a sophomore at DHS, has found more opportunities to discover new stories, like This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amal El-Matar.
Because I've kind of enjoyed reading ever since, you know, I can remember.
She says that the pandemic has allowed her more time and introduced her to plenty more stories. She's interested in mainly science fiction, though does deviate to other genres, like the dark fantasy novel by Leigh Bardugo, Ninth House.
Though I'll read mostly any kind of fiction as long as it's interesting. Sometimes I read nonfiction too, but mostly it's just fiction when I read for fun.
But as always, even with the time and resources to, it can be challenging to find motivation to pick up something new. Ludie recommends going back to books you've enjoyed in the past.
Because I find that getting into new reading is often like really intimidating, and you're not sure whether you're going to like this new book or not. So if you want to get back into reading, I would say just find a book that you used to really like and then reread it.
For BlueDevilHub.com, this is Bridget Nagel reporting.
The News Cycle is a production of the Blue Devil Hub in association with the Davis Enterprise. Daniel Ruiz Jimenez writes our theme music. The program is produced by Jihan Moon and Katrina Haas. Stay safe, have a great day, and we will see you next week.